From Moscow with love, this is Vasily and Natalie on Radio Sputnik. Online, on digital, satellite, and on shortwave via WRMI.
I wanted to ask you about that.
What?
Are you sure we're on all those platforms? Because Alan Pennington writes, "Hi, Vasily and Natalie. You announced the times of From Moscow with Love being broadcast on shortwave to the Americas on your latest show today. Mm-hmm. But is From Moscow with Love broadcast on Radio Sputnik on DAB in London, UK? I can't see a program schedule anywhere online. I can receive the DAB transmissions from London, here, 50 kilometers west of London. So, Vas, are we or are we not?"
All right. This is what I was handed by one of our handlers at Radio Sputnik. We are online everywhere, 24/7 via the internet, okay? hold on a second.
I like it.
We're on DAB in London at the following times. 0100 hours to 0130 UTC, 0200 hours to 0430 UTC, and 0500 hours to 2400 hours or midnight UTC. We're also on digital FM in Washington, D.C., my hometown. On WTOP HD2, 103.5 FM in New York. Another one of my hometowns.
Yeah, you were born there.
Yeah. In New York on 93.5 FM HD2. And in Miami on WKIS HD2 99.9 FM. And, are you ready for this? As if that wasn't enough, we're also on satellite. Express AM 22, 53 degrees east. Galaxy 19, 97 degrees west. I'm not even sure that is possible, but we're also on Yamal 300K, 90 degrees east.
Right.
Thank you.
Alan adds, enjoyed the show today online, and the his and hers clip from Radio Nederland back in 1974. Yes, there is a similarity.
I know. Isn't that creepy? Say Radio Nederland again.
Radio Nederland.
Radio Nederland. That's the way they used to say.
Radio Nederland.
Radio Nederland. Isn't that lovely? Okay. So, I don't know. This reference to similarity, I don't know. It's like a cosmic coincidence, you know, one that comes around, I don't know, once in a million years. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, and I already said that in our previous show, Natasha never heard his and hers on Radio Nederland.
Honest.
Really. So whatever happened and why, okay, well, anyway. By the way, this is my personal request to all you guys out there. If you happen to have an old recording or recordings of his and hers, I would really appreciate getting my hands on them, a copy or whatever. You know, nowadays with the internet, with email, it's all very simple. You know, you don't have to send reel-to-reel tapes. It's all a MP3 file. Thank you. On with the show.
Here's a wonderful letter that arrived on St. Valentine's and is actually a love letter from Guy Still in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who writes, "Моя дорогая Наталья и Василий."
Right.
My dear Natalie and Василий.
And the other guy.
"I enjoy listening to your program on Sputnik Radio. I've been interested in Soviet and Russian history and culture ever since I visited Russia in 1992 as a student ambassador. Ask my wife and she'll explain. I'm obsessed. Russia was in turbulence at that time, but I found people to be so warm and welcoming, from Siberian students we met at Letni Lager summer camp to the nice men who offered me, a 13-year-old boy, vodka in Gorky Park."
What?
"Oh. Enclosed is a photo of me in 1992 in a Mikoyan MiG."
Yeah, it's a MiG fighter from the Mikoyan factory. You know, that is such a cool photo, Guy. You know who you remind me of in that pic?
Who?
Myself.
Oh.
We could have been brothers, Guy. Listen, I looked just like that when I was 13. I had that same troubled look. As for the vodka you were offered by some guys at Gorky Park, well, that's what Russian hospitality is all about.
Oh, yeah. You call that hospitality.
Natasha, I miss the days when Russians and Americans were friends. It is my belief that living in a world, in a field of mutual distrust and sometimes downright hate, is wrong and bad for everyone, politically and physically, and medically, by the way, and psychologically. you know, sometimes it gets out of control and folks do pretty stupid stuff. Now, do you remember all the Stolichnaya vodka pouring in the streets in Hollywood? And that was a means of protest. Well, the vodka the bartenders were emptying into the streets of Hollywood was actually produced in Riga, Latvia. Now, here's another example of international stupidity. I recently saw an automobile here, a car in Moscow, with very large letters on the rear window. There was just one sentence. Without going into detail, it was addressed to U.S. President Obama, calling him a very bad name we can't say on the air. Now, what was especially, can I say funny, in my view, in my demented view, was the fact that the car was a Ford.
That's funny.
It was an American car. Now, I'm pretty sure the driver had just had lunch at Mickey D's and probably checked his email on his Apple iPhone. You know, can we stop hating each other and at least agree no one is perfect and it's time to work together and look for things we have in common? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get all emotional, but it's just sad. This is what I really feel. For our part, I believe shows like this one on Radio Sputnik can be a messenger to the effect that, contrary to popular belief, not all Russians are assholes telling the untold.
Guy continues, since my time in Russia, I have learned the language, taught English in Crimea, and visited Moldova and Pridnestrovskaya Moldavskaya Respublika. I follow current affairs and listen to Sputnik Radio often, including your program.
Guy has two questions for us. First, he wonders about Chiburashka. Cheburashka, what is it? Is it still popular in Russia? That's a question to Natalie at the Radio Sputnik Mental Ward, as she's so fond of all these little cute creatures, cats, dogs, Cheburashkas, and teddy bears. You know, in fact, she used to sleep with...
Oh, watch what you're saying.
She used to sleep with teddy bears and Cheburashkas until she was...
18. Are you through?
Yes.
Good. Cheburashka was created by Russian writer Edward Uspensky in 1966 as one of the main characters of the children's book Gena the Crocodile and His Friends. In 1968, Roman Kachanov made an animated cartoon based on that book, and Cheburashka became famous overnight. Cheburashka is a little creature with enormous ears and brown fur who walks on his hind paws. He was drawn by the cartoon's art director, Leonid Schwartzman. What really sends me is the way Cheburashka's name was translated into other languages. In English, he was known as Topple. In German, as Kullerchen. I love it. And Plumps.
Oh.
Or should it be Plumps? I think it's Plumps. Plumps,
yeah.
Plumps in German. In Swedish, in Swedish, she was turned into Drutten.
Drutten.
And in Finnish, into Muksis.
Oh, is Cheburashka still popular in Russia?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Western toys, which are much cuter, ousted him from the lives of our kids. And frankly speaking, I understand them. Cheburashka's design is somewhat crude. My kids were never his fans. They preferred Winnie the Pooh, Piglet, and My Little Pony.
Well, here's something you might find interesting, a sort of an international twist. Japan has found a way to show its love for Cheburashka and has brought him into the modern era with a new animated series, Cheburashka Arere! Cheburashka Arere! Several years ago, Russia signed a contract with Japan for the rights to distribute Russian cartoons abroad. The Japanese plan to make up to 52 episodes starring the Soviet cartoon character. Cheburashka is a funny little creature, unknown to science, much like Natasha here. And Cheburashka lived in a tropical forest, much like
Unlike
Natasha.
Me.
One day, however, he accidentally ends up in a crate of orange juice. He falls asleep and wakes up in front of a puzzled shop owner. The sales clerk calls him Cheburashka, as after his long sleep, the animal was tumbling down all the time, falling flat on his face.
Yeah. That's what happened to me day before yesterday.
See, there's the similarity. See?
Listen, I've heard all over.
Hold on a second. Let me explain the origin of Cheburashka. So in the book, the salesman's word for tumbling is Cheburachnutsa.
Exactly. Cheburachnutsa. That's what I did just 2 days ago when I was in the country. Oh, my God. It hurt. It's still... Look at my knee.
I don't want to.
It's all bruised.
It's disturbing.
It's all bruised.
Get on with the show.
Didn't you voice or dub Soviet cartoons into English back in the 80s?
I did, Natalie, along with Nikolai Kornikov of the North American Service of Radio Moscow, George Watts of radio station Peace and Progress. I think we did several cartoons with Carl Yegorov, Dmitry Linik of Radio Moscow World Service, and, of course, many, many other...
me included. Yeah, I loved it.
I was about to say well-known announcers, but never mind. Yeah, I mean, we've voiced quite a few Soviet cartoons into English, and I'm sure we also worked on Chiburashka, but unfortunately, I really have no idea where to find these recordings nowadays.
Just remembering that makes me smile. Mm-hmm. I mean, there we all are working hard at the radio station, reading the news and the commentaries. It's all so serious.
Yeah.
And after work, we go to the studio and voice little cartoon characters.
Yeah, this studio was across town, so we had to commute there. That took about 40 minutes.
It's next to your home, by the way.
Don't give it away. Well, it's not there anymore.
No.
No, it's a sad...
Oh, that's a shame.
They tore it down. There's a big business center now, as it is in the center of town. But it was, yeah, it was a great atmosphere. It was a, remember that dark, old dark studio?
Right,
and that microphone in the middle.
And I loved it when all the lights would go out.
And we had a great time. We had a wonderful time there. Guy also writes, also when I visited in 1992, two of the students I was with participated in vandalism in Moscow, breaking $20,000 worth of windows at a restaurant attached to our hotel. I wonder if this made the news in Moscow. American teens cause extensive damage to a Moscow restaurant. 2 years later, an American gained attention in the U.S. when he was caned in Singapore for vandalizing some cars. The incident I'm writing about never made the news in America. Was the same true in Russia?
I think it was. At least I've never heard of any of those incidents, but probably Vasily knows better.
I hardly remember 1992 for certain reasons, but I remember the cute little song from the original soundtrack to the Chiburashka cartoon. Here, have a listen and enjoy.
Я был когда-то странной игрушкой безымянной, которой в магазине никто не подойдет. Теперь я Чебурашка, мне каждая дворняшка при встрече сразу лапу подает. Теперь я Чебурашка, мне каждая дворняшка при встрече сразу лапу подает.
This is from Moscow with Love on Radio Sputnik and WRMI.
Natalie!
Yes!
In the previous segment, you mentioned St. Valentine's Day, did you?
I did.
So you even had a happy St. Valentine's post up at our Facebook fan site.
Correct.
Is this imperialist holiday celebrated in Russia?
Oh, yes, it is. Actually, more and more people celebrate it with every year. And it's quite a problem to get into a restaurant on February 14th. Some people say this holiday has been commercialized, but I love it. What can be better than a day of love and lovers? My motto has always been make love, not war.
Mm. Meanwhile, RT reports the Liberal Democratic Party of Russia is asking businesses to stop using St. Valentine's Day for marketing purposes, opting instead for the Orthodox holiday of St. Peter and Fevronia. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, right.
Fevronia, which falls on July 8th. July 8th, all right? Mm-hmm. The party says that celebrating Valentine's Day is nothing but bowing before the Western mass culture that is impoverishes Russia's millennium-long history. The date became an official state holiday. Is that true? Though it's not a day off. It's not a day off from work, no. So all this happened in 2008, and it's known as the Day of Family, Love, and Fidelity.
Ah. Probably. Mm. Many Russians view Women's Day on March 8th and Men's Day on February 23rd, which have been celebrated in Russia for decades as more suitable days for gifts and celebrations than St. Valentine's Day. But personally, I prefer St. Valentine's Day.
All right, more about various holidays in Russia and around the world after a short break. This is From Moscow with Love on Radio Sputnik and WRMI. Welcome back to From Moscow with Love on Radio Sputnik and WRMI. We're talking about holidays. We mentioned St. Valentine's Day. By the way, regarding St. Valentine's Day in Moscow and Russia, I don't know, I think I mentioned this recently. My girlfriend is in charge of a whole chain of gift stores in Moscow. And according to her, there were lines of people trying to buy up everything pertaining to St. Valentine's Day this year.
Despite the economic difficulties and falling ruble.
Exactly. She says the stores were not expecting anything like it. She had everyone, all her employees, working overtime.
Did she give you anything as a gift or a present?
Yeah, she did. She did.
Knowing you and your girlfriends, is this even appropriate to mention on the air?
Yes. Depends what you have in mind. This is so cute. She gave me some funny, happy socks and boxers.
Wow.
Yay!
What did you give her?
I was lazy to go to the store and look for anything, so I just ordered a big bouquet of flowers, 10 smiley balloons, and a box of chocolates. And they had it delivered to her as a surprise from a secret admirer.
Oh, you're such a romantic.
No, I'm not. Speaking of holidays, there's another big holiday week heading our way. Maslenitsa.
Mm.
I've already been invited to a friend's dacha this weekend, and I'm trying to eat less in the days leading up to the visit, as the celebrations will involve a lot of Russian blini, or pancake consumption, not to mention vodka. First, tell us how you make these so-called blinis. They are not exactly like American pancakes, because pancakes are thick and juicy, while blini are thin and tasty.
As a matter of fact, real Russian blini, which are made with yeast, must be quite thick. It's blinchiki, which are thin and lacy. They're made without yeast, but with baking soda instead. If you want to make real blini, the first thing you need is patience. You mustn't hurry or nothing will come out of your venture. I mix half a liter of warm milk with half a liter of buttermilk and add to it a teaspoonful of salt and 3 tablespoons of sugar, 2 eggs, and some yeast. Mm-hmm. Then I add to this some flour and I whisk the mixture until the batter is smooth to the consistency of thin cream. And then I put the batter in a warm place until it starts bubbling. Only after that, it's time to fry the pancakes.
So are they still popular around here?
Of course they are, especially during Maslenitsa or Shrovetide, the last week before Lent.
Yeah, you know, the holiday where everyone here stuffs him and herself with blinis and eventually explode.
Absolutely. It's a tradition in Russia to eat pancakes during Shrovetide with sour cream, salmon, caviar, honey, jam, butter, anything but meat. Mm-hmm. You must not eat meat during Shrovetide. The week is supposed to prepare you for Lent. Paradoxically, it's a week of feasting, drinking, and fun, with traditional dancing and singing and playing all sorts of games. It's Russian carnival, but without meat.
Yeah, so what do these blinis and all the partying, what's all this have to do with the strict Orthodox Lent?
Nothing whatsoever.
Good.
The celebrations are a typical pagan tradition dating back to pre-Christian times. With time, it blended with Christian Shrovetide. But in fact, it marks the end of winter and the return of the sun and warmth. Warm, round, and golden pancakes are the symbol of the sun.
Uh-huh.
I love making pancakes, but I do it only during Maslenitsa. By the way, here are some I made specially for you.
No, thank you.
don't break them.
Okay, thank you. Finally worth mentioning in this segment is that Monday, February 23rd, is a day off, as it's Red Army Day, or as mentioned earlier, Men's Day. The holiday has evolved into a more general celebration for men in Russia that is highly commercialized and known as Men's Day, naturally. Wives, daughters, sisters, and female colleagues will be congratulating the men in their lives and presenting small gifts as a token of their appreciation. These include new razors. I need a new razor, an electric razor, by the way, shaving cream, cologne, socks, happy socks, ties, and hats. Russians observe this holiday by closing schools and businesses to allow people to recognize the men in their lives with a nice meal and quality time together. This is From Moscow with Love on Radio Sputnik and WRMI.
Last weekend, I was reading a letter from my cousin who lives in Marblehead, Massachusetts, about the terrible snowstorms they've been having of late, and thinking how lucky we are not to have anything like that. They live on the ocean, where storms, blizzards, winds, and crazy weather fluctuations are inevitable. This February, they've had so much snow that they spend all their time shoveling it away. My cousin sent me pictures in which their house is half covered with snow, like in some old fairy tale. Schools are closed, and people have been staying home for days. And then I saw the picture of a snowdrift my friend Wendy Russell put on her Facebook page. Concrete snowdrifts in the driveway. Can't even imagine the rocks that Boston is having to navigate around or move before the next storm hits, writes Wendy. Well, at least we have no hurricanes and no blizzards. Our climate is getting milder and milder with every year. Mm-hmm. Thought I, when suddenly the sky grew menacingly dark and a terrible gust of wind threw my window open. I hardly managed to shut and bolt the window, and the blizzard that followed was something I hadn't seen for many years.
That was last Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was in the country when it happened. My neighbor said she had heard an announcement on local radio in which people were asked not to leave their homes. It reminded me of my childhood, when winters were much harsher than now. There was always a lot of snow, and we used to have severe frosts, and we kids were anticipating the moment when the temperature would drop down to minus 30 centigrade, and then schools were closed and classes canceled, and we didn't have to get up at 7 o'clock.
Well, back in Maryland in the late 60s and early 70s, we did not have such winters. We hardly had any snow at all. If we got an inch, schools would close and they would call out the National Guard. So when I arrived in Moscow in 1975, I was shocked by the snow-covered streets in the winters, the frost, and of course the dark, the menacing dark.
Do you remember the last really frosty winter when the temperatures dropped to minus 40? I think it was either in 1979 or 1980.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was visiting a friend of mine and had a flimsy but very fashionable coat on. So he made me put his dad's enormous sheepskin coat on top of my overcoat as he walked into the taxi stop. We were laughing like mad, naturally, but nobody paid any attention to me. It was so cold outside. I sneaked out of that ridiculous sheepskin as I was getting into the car. The windows were all frozen. You could see nothing at all. When I made it home, finally, Mom was hysterical. She was afraid I would freeze something off, but luckily I didn't. However, when my daughter Sandy was a baby, she did freeze off her cheek. Once I brought her home from her walk in the courtyard and noticed that she had a whitish-bluish spot on her cheek. We started rubbing her cheek with snow, but she had a knot inside it for quite some time after. And every winter, her cheek would get frozen at the slightest provocation.
Why did you rub her cheek with snow?
Well, it's the best thing to do. It restores normal blood circulation, don't you know? When your hands get cold in winter, you must take off your gloves or your mittens and rub your hands with snow till they get warm again. Mm-mm. In a short while, they will get hot.
Don't you know? The Mayo Clinic website says if you're outside, warm frostbitten hands by tucking them into your armpits. Protect your face, nose, or ears by covering the area with the dry, gloved hands. Don't rub the affected area and never rub snow on frostbitten skin. So there. Right. From Moscow with Love cares. We do. Oh, by the way, we're out of time.
Mm-hmm. Please visit the From Moscow with Love fan site at www.facebook.com/From Moscow with Love.
Right. Also, don't forget you can download all previous episodes of From Moscow with Love at the Radio Sputnik website. That's at www.sputniknews.com/radio.
And please don't forget to like us if you like us, like Irina Gegeshidze of St. Petersburg, Louis Roussel of Strasbourg, France, and Alex James Painter of London, England did. Thank you very much and welcome to the show. And if you listen to us online on Radio Sputnik's website, please don't forget to press two buttons, like and recommend.
And if you'd like to get in contact with us for some reason, send us an email. Our email address is moscowwithlove@gmail.com. And listen, send us some audio feedback. MP3s, please.
We hope to see you again next week. Till then, take care.
Stay safe and
do svidaniya.